And here to break down the box office and much, much more is our Hollywood guru, Michael Warschauer. Michael, thank you for the time as always, my friend. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start right there with the box office this weekend. Boy, that animated Spider-Man had quite a bit of hype. And I saw it led the way, and I thought, wow, that's a little surprising to me, given what else was at the box office. But then again, you combine the superheroes with the animation, you draw in a number of different demographics there. Was it a surprise to you at all to see the animated Superman lead the way?
A little bit. In one regard, this is the seventh Spider-Man movie that we've had since 2002. It's the third attempt at a franchise. Fourth attempt at a franchise. So there's been a lot of Spider-Man movies out there already. But this one kind of comes, first of all, with a really high pedigree behind the screen. It comes from Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who have had some big success the last couple of years with the Lego movie, as well as the 21 Jump Street films, and have been kind of leading voices on having these very unique and original films in Hollywood at a time where we've had so many franchises. So it's kind of neat to see them lending their voice and their expertise to this new series. And it really got great reviews and great word of mouth. I mean, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's 97% fresh, and its cinema score, which is how audiences rate it, it's an A+. So this was a movie that, yeah, we've had a lot of these Spider-Man movies and a lot of superhero movies, but it's a kind of a quality thing. It was so good, well-reviewed, and well-spoken about that it really drove the box office this past weekend. And I'd honestly look to see more of this from studios over the coming years to see how they can expand these superhero properties even more into new avenues. I mean, we've already seen the Lego Batman movie as well, kind of taking a new spin on Batman for kids. You have Disney with their new streaming service unveiling some new series that are about Loki and Scarlet Witch from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So look for ways that these studios are going to continue to see the success of things like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and try and make them work in different ways for their already established franchises.
Well, we're going to come back around to this, but given the trio of movies that are going to make their debut this weekend, I think it's going to be very, very tough for it to lead the way a second consecutive weekend at the box office. But again, we'll come back around to that a little bit later on. The second movie, as far as total dollars allocated for across the board this weekend at the box office, was one I think that certainly got a little bit of publicity leading into the weekend, and Clint Eastwood returning to the screen for the first time in about 6 years, this new one called The Mule. What have you heard about this movie?
This is a movie that has had sort of a mixed reaction, but did really well at the box office. It's one of those movies that didn't have a great critical reception. It's about 61% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience that went to go see this film have raved about it. It has an A- cinema score, and it really did very well. It was one of his highest grossing films over the last couple of decades. Proved that Clint Eastwood is still very much a box office draw. But when you kind of break down those numbers a little bit, as far as who went to actually go see this movie, about 80% of the audience was over the age of 35, and 17% were over the age of 55. So this wasn't exactly competing with the same viewers as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, but it did really well with Clint Eastwood's audience and the people that have been supporting his movies for years. And this is a movie that I would actually expect to see stay kind of steady at the box office over the holiday season as that good word of mouth kind of continues to propel it.
And it's been a big year at the box office, bouncing back from 2017. But so far, I think you'd look at this holiday season, there's a lot for movie makers to be excited about, and it sure seems as though they're going to finish strong here the next couple of weeks. You have a lot of people with a lot of time off heading towards the end of the calendar year. That means those matinee numbers could take at least a little bit of a bump. And I have a feeling that movies like this could certainly stick around for at least a little bit longer and certainly put up some decent numbers. But I want to get into this weekend because there are some really interesting titles making their debut at the box office, at least domestically, this weekend. I know Aquaman debuted a couple of weeks ago in China, but Aquaman, We'll be joined by Bumblebee, the new Transformers movie, and Mary Poppins Returns. So you've got three movies essentially attacking a trio of different age groups and demographics. But do you expect this to be a gigantic weekend at the box office?
I think it certainly has the potential to be. These are three marquee releases. You have the DC Cinematic Universe, you have the Transformers franchise, and you have Disney kind of bringing a new chapter to an iconic character and film. So that's a lot of movies coming out, and not a lot of ways to split that audience, I guess, when you really think about how many times people are going to go to the theater in a weekend. So it's going to be interesting to see how they shake out. But I would put my money, if I had to bet on who would kind of come out of the front runner at the box office, on Mary Poppins Returns. This has sort of like everything going for it. It's family friendly. It has Oscar buzz for its star, Emily Blunt. It has Meryl Streep. It has Lin-Manuel Miranda. This, I think, has the highest potential to bring in the largest audience really over the holiday season. But that being said, Aquaman has already done, $266 million internationally already. So there's already a sequel coming for that movie. I expect that it's still going to do pretty well. The real interesting one for me is Bumblebee, which is, the sixth Transformers movie. So we're kind of continuing this franchise even further. These are movies that have had diminishing returns at the domestic box office. Well, they've still stayed very, very strong internationally. It's a franchise that's made over $4.8 billion since the first film internationally. So it'll be interesting to see how that does here. But like I said, I think the safe money as far as who's going to win the domestic box office goes to Mary Poppins.
Now, I've got to ask you this as well, because those are the three big ones coming out this weekend. There are a couple of really good ones coming out a week from tomorrow on Christmas Day. Two that I've been looking forward to for a very long time. And I know we've talked about them at least to some degree on the show with you before. Between Vice, which I know a lot of people are very excited about, and if you're like me, you're really excited about Holmes and Watson. If I could carve out enough time to watch both on Christmas, I would certainly do it. But what are the expectations for both of those movies? Because, again, I've not heard a single bad thing about Vice. People seem to be a little divided on Holmes and Watson, but I think that's got potential.
I think those are two really interesting films coming out there. They really are coming out at kind of an interesting time where you have these three behemoths coming out this weekend. And I kind of expect whoever wins the box office this weekend to carry that momentum a second week. So I'm not sure if Vice or Holmes and Watson has the strength to kind of push back these massive vehicles of Mary Poppins and Aquaman and Transformers. But I would guess both of them are going to do very well. Vice has had such really positive reviews coming out, and the performances look incredible. And you can't go wrong with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly teaming up again. I think that movie is going to do pretty solid. I just don't see either of them surpassing these behemoth franchises at the box office.
Yeah, going to be tough with the three titles that we mentioned before in Aquaman, Bumblebee, or Mary Poppins Returns. But I think if nothing else, if people do have a lot of time off the next couple of weeks, that gives them more opportunities to go to the box office. And if you've got a lot of star power there, which it certainly appears as though there is, it'll give them the only excuse they need to get out there and watch. And again, that's why I think you could certainly see some matinee numbers take a bump as well.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we're going to be busy the next couple of weeks watching Christmas movies, all that good stuff, having a great time during the holidays. But I was reading earlier today, there are some pretty interesting titles coming to Netflix in January. So as soon as we enter the next calendar year, there are some pretty interesting things to watch for. And a lot of it's some Netflix exclusive content. Well, what are some of the things that you're excited to see in January on Netflix?
There's a lot really throughout this whole holiday season that Netflix is coming out with. They have obviously continued to step up their original programming, and it's really paying dividends for subscribers. The big one that you can watch right now is Roma. This is Alfonso Cuarón's newest film. This is a very legitimate Oscar contender. It has won numerous awards already. This is the same director who made Gravity and Children of Men. He has made his most personal film yet. It is in Spanish, so be prepared for subtitles, but it is absolutely stunning and truly kind of a masterpiece of film. So I highly recommend checking that out. And you can go see it in some theaters, too. It's in limited release, as well as Netflix tries to get it for a big Oscar push. But it's still very cool that you can watch it right now in your own home in the midst of Oscar season. The other one I'm very excited for that just came out is Springsteen on Broadway. It's the taping of Bruce Springsteen's Broadway show. It's supposed to be really intimate and beautiful and powerful as he kind of tells the stories behind some of his biggest songs and then plays them acoustic. So that's one you don't want to miss if you're a music fan. And really the last like big release that's out right now that is worth checking out over this holiday season if you haven't started already is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the second season. This show won Outstanding Comedy at both the Golden Globes and the Emmys, as well as Best Actress at both awards. It's very funny. It's very charming. It's a great light watch with the family over the holidays. So one to check out if you haven't seen it already.
I've got to ask you about another show that's getting a second season on Netflix. Another one kind of met with mixed reviews. Friends from College. Now, I throw it out there because it's certainly not bad. It's not a home run either. There were some episodes that kind of I just lulled me to sleep. But then there were some other episodes in that first season that I thought were absolutely hysterical. Do you think there's any chance this thing makes it to season three? Because right now, I don't want to say it's on life support, but it's kind of teeter-tottering right now.
I wouldn't necessarily say that it has the best chances. I think the overall reaction to the first season was kind of how you described, where it really had some great moments. I really enjoyed it when it was at its best, but there were also points where it dragged or just didn't really feel all that original or unique. It's kind of hard to tell what will actually happen. Netflix doesn't release any of their numbers, so we have no kind of frame of reference as to how many people are watching or anything like that. So all we kind of have to go on is word of mouth and reviews. And if those are any indication, I think this is a show that kind of squeaked into a second season and might have trouble getting a third. But again, it's hard to tell without knowing exactly how many people are watching and tuning in. So maybe Netflix will surprise us and keep it going. But I would not say that the chances are very high.
But it just doesn't seem that way. And there's some very interesting moving pieces, parts with the cast. There's a lot to get excited about. I can't remember seeing a show like that before on Netflix where there are a couple of episodes that are just so good. And then there are some other ones that you just kind of make you think, what, do they fall asleep putting this together? I mean, for example, the episode when they go to the winery. I mean, I laughed hysterically throughout the entire thing. And then the very next one, it was like, wait a minute. They had a hard time telling the story, and very little of that next episode was funny. And it just seems like there's just no consistency with that series, which makes me think, I don't know, did they learn something? Maybe there's something better for us in the second season? I don't know. I just came away so disappointed with some of those episodes because it just felt like they could have done so much more with it.
I agree, and I think it's certainly a unique case in the streaming era of a show that, you know, every episode comes out at once and we get a chance to kind of watch them at our own pace. But this is clearly a show that it wasn't a huge phenomenon like Stranger Things or Orange is the New Black or any of these big streaming shows. So I think a lot of it got lost in the shuffle. So I'm interested to see if they kind of took those criticisms from the first season and kind of improve on it and build it into a really nice show that kind of redeems itself as it figures out what it is, but I guess we'll have to see. We'll have to find out.
All right, Michael, before we let you go, we need your picks to click. I know you alluded to a few things already that we should be looking for over the next couple of weeks on Netflix, but what are your picks to click for this week?
Sure. Well, I know I mentioned a few, but I have a couple of other films that maybe you missed this year that are worth checking out as the holidays approach. One is Searching. This was a hit at Sundance. It stars John Cho. It's a thriller about a man whose daughter goes missing, but it is told entirely from the screen of his computer. Look up the trailer. It's a really unique and inventive thriller. I watched it over the weekend and had a great time. watching it. It's very good. And another one that's just a really nice, pleasant movie that I enjoyed this year was Hearts Beat Loud. It's a little indie film with Nick Offerman, Kiersey Clemons, Ted Danson, and Toni Collette. And it's about a father and daughter who start a band together. And it's a nice little indie film. It's the perfect movie for this time of year. So another one to check out.
Okay, I have some more questions. So this is a comedy, right? The one with Nick Offerman and Ted Danson?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then take me back to Searching. You said this is told from his computer screen? This story is told through the computer screen?
Yeah, so it's all on, like, the desktop of the computer. So when you see John Cho, it's through his FaceTime app, and he's texting and searching through Facebook and emails and searching for his daughter using technology. So it's a very unique film, and you'd think that the gimmick kind of would wear on you after just a little bit, but it's really engrossing and a lot of fun.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. I love how they've laid that out. I'm definitely going to check that out. Well, Michael, thank you so much for the time. We always appreciate it. A happy holidays to you and yours, and safe travels over the holiday season as well, my friend.
Thanks a lot, guys. You too.